Good morning. This is a public rulemaking hearing held in accordance with the State Administrative Procedure Act, specifically Section 24-4-103, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is Tuesday, October 1st, 2013, and the time is 8 a.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Conference Room on the third floor of the Office of the Secretary of State at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. I'm Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert. I'm convening this hearing in accordance with the rulemaking notice published in the Colorado Register on September 10th, 2013. Seated to my far right is Leanne Morrill, First Assistant Attorney General, then Judd Choate, Director of Elections, Troy Bratton, Manager of Legal and Policy. To my left is Hillary Rudy, Deputy Director of the Elections Division, and Andrea Geiger, our Rulemaking Manager. The purpose of this hearing is to receive comments from the public concerning the proposed recodification of the Secretary of State's elections rules. As stated in the notice, the Secretary is considering amendments and recodification of the election rules in order to improve the administration and enforcement of Colorado elections law and to implement amendments to the election laws made during the 2013 first regular session of the 69th General Assembly. Specifically, the Secretary is considering permanent adoption of rules to implement changes made by House Bills 13-1038, 13-1135, and 13-1303. The Secretary of State released a preliminary draft of proposed rules with the notice of rulemaking. On September 26, 2013, revised proposed draft rules were made available to the public. Both drafts are available on the office website. Copies of the notice of rulemaking and the draft statement of basis are available on the table in the back of the room. This is a formal rulemaking hearing. This meeting is audio recorded, and all comments become a part of the official legal record. This hearing is also being broadcast over the internet. For anyone who wishes to testify at this hearing, there are sign-up sheets on the table at the back of the room. You must sign up in order to testify. For the record, our office has received written comments on the proposed rules. All comments received will become part of the official record of this hearing and will be posted on this line. Posted online. At this time, all interested parties have an opportunity to submit any data, views, or arguments on amendments to the election rules in writing and, if desired, orally. In the interest of time, I would request that you avoid simply repeating the testimony of others. When you speak, please introduce yourself for the recording when you begin. If you represent an organization, please identify the organization. And we do have a sign-up sheet. But nobody on the sign-up sheet has indicated a desire to testify. So is there anybody present who wishes to testify? You can just come up to the podium if you wish to. And just, oh, they're signing. Okay. All right, we'll wait just a moment. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Danny Katz, and I work with a nonpartisan nonprofit organization called the Koperg Foundation, the Colorado Public Interest Research Foundation. Part of our mission is to ensure that everyone in Colorado has a chance to actively participate in our democracy. And over the last two decades, that's mainly been focused on voter registration and get out the vote drives on college campuses aimed at young people. I'm here to testify mainly entirely about the new proposed voter registration drive rules. Based on our experience over the last two decades, we believe that the new proposed changes to the voter registration drive rules add too many barriers and are too onerous for groups like ours who depend highly on engaging and mobilizing volunteers during our voter registration drives. It's a common misconception that young people are apathetic and that's why they don't participate in our democracy. But studies show that actually young people are very engaged. They're just engaged more in service and in community service affairs. They see politics. They are oftentimes turned off by politics in our current political system or political situation, whether it's Congress or local decision makers. One of the best ways to help right that is through voter registration efforts. Not only is it a service in a way that people can make a difference with their hands and their feet, but it's also a great way to connect that interest in community service into being engaged in our democracy. Given that young people are going to be one of the largest blocks of voters in our country, it's very important that we make sure that there's high voter participation there. And plenty of studies show the best way to get young people to register to vote is by their peers. And so that's why we depend heavily on getting lots and lots of college students to go out there and volunteer and engage with their peers and help register them to vote. It has felt over the last couple of election cycles that the current rules around training people to go out there and register to vote have struck a good balance of making sure that both people are trained as well as being able to get as many people to participate as possible. These new rules, though, however, add a lot of barriers and make it a lot harder for somebody to want it and be able to engage in our democracy by participating in a voter registration drive. And we're not exactly sure what the intent is behind that. It hasn't seemed like there's been large problems that have been expressed either to us when we hand in our voter registration forms to the many different county clerks or in any conversations we've had with the Secretary of State's office. So we're not exactly sure what the intent is here. It's making it harder for people to volunteer, but it doesn't necessarily seem like there's a problem that it's actually solving there. We feel like it has the previous rules have really struck a good balance. So for that reason, we're saying that those proposed rules should be scaled back to what they have been. We think that has struck a nice balance. Lastly, we're not exactly sure if the Secretary of State has the authority to specify a lot of these new pieces when it comes to those voter registration circulators. I'll leave my comments on that as well, and I think other groups will comment about that too. So those are our two big concerns, and we hope, you know, you can always make something harder to do, whether it's start a small business or get a driver's license or be participant in a voter registration drive, but there should be a clear reason why it needs to be harder and there needs to be more steps, and it just doesn't seem like there's a reason, or at least we haven't seen or heard of a really clear reason why that should be. We think that the previous rules have struck a good balance.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I have a quick question. I'm just curious, what specifically are you concerned about with the new rules that you believe is a barrier?
So specifically, it's my understanding that the new rules will require circulators to go through the actual training online, that not only do they need to go through that training, they need to receive a certificate, and they need to make sure they have that certificate every time that they go out there and participate in ours or any other group's voter registration drives. And so that's a pretty big new step for a couple of steps for volunteers to go through. You know, the traditional model has been to have the organizer, and I've been our organization's organizer, go through that training and then design a training program that can be done, you know, more closely to where they're going to be doing the voter registration, to be able to put together the forms and tip sheets and whatnot that will help them. But having to go through some online, essentially an online class first and get a certificate and then have to have that certificate with you, those are just added steps. And again, you know, it just makes it harder, and I'm not exactly sure what the problem was that solves. Did that answer your question?
Yes. So of the two, the circulator taking the class and the circulator producing or always having with them the certificate, which one of those do you consider to be the higher barrier?
The higher barrier would be having to go through that class.
So just out of curiosity, if the circulator is the point of contact with the person who's attempting to register, so they're the person that is standing in front of King Soopers or out on 16th Street. What about that? What about taking a class to help them to understand how to do that and do it within the law would be inappropriate or overbearing on the part of the state?
Yeah, like I said, you can always add in more and more checks and balances to make sure somebody knows every little detail of everything. Right now, the way the system works is that responsibility is on me as the organizer to ensure that every single person who goes out there and represents the Koperg Foundation and is registering people to vote knows how to do that, is trained on how to do that. We think we've designed a better way to do that that is more in line with how people volunteer. People tend to volunteer by showing up someplace, by getting a training from that organization that they trust, that they know, getting the training in a way that, you know, provides whatever context they need or whatever tools that they need. And so the current system allows us to do that more effectively in terms of getting people to come out. It will be understood for new volunteers that you got to go through a class before you can even show up to our volunteer day versus show up to our volunteer day where we'll train you and make sure that you're prepared to go out there. It's a lot easier for somebody to be able to show up and get a training by the group that they have affinity for or are coming to than it is to go online to a site that they're not familiar with an organization that they don't necessarily have a relationship with to go through that training. So it's just that flexibility allows us to just get more people engaged. I think we'll lose a lot more people who just feel like, you know, it just sounds a lot scarier, harder, whatever the case may be.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Elena Nunez.
Good morning. My name is Elena Nunez. I'm the executive director of Colorado Common Cause. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that works for open and accountable government and to increase political participation. My comments today are on behalf of a number of organizations who do nonpartisan civic engagement work. A list of the organizations and their representatives will be in the written comments that we submit. First, I'd like to thank the Secretary of State's staff for the tremendous undertaking in recodifying these rules. It's been a incredible process to watch you all work through these and go far beyond simply adopting rules to implement the legislation from 2013. And I think that the end result creates a lot of opportunity for clarity in the rules. So we appreciate all of the work that the staff has put into this process. There are some places, though, where we'd like to flag issues that we think haven't yet been addressed in the different drafts and raise them for your attention. The first, under Rule 1.1.1.2.1, the definition of inactive status. We believe that this definition is slightly overbroad. While return mail would result in a voter being marked as inactive or is undeliverable and therefore inactive, there are clear exceptions that were outlined in House Bill 1303 when voters are moving between counties. So we believe that this definition should be adjusted slightly, perhaps also in the context of the rules around the national change of address, to note that a move within county, even if it shows a bad address, wouldn't result in the voter being marked inactive. Under Rule 2.2.3.1b, we believe that this provision is inconsistent with Colorado Revised Statute Section 11104.19.5a7. The statute provides that any government document that shows the name and address of the elector is a valid form of identification for voting purposes. The Secretary does not have the authority to pick and choose which documents that otherwise meet these requirements and are current should be accepted as valid for voting purposes. We would urge the Secretary to reject this rule, and if it's an appropriate policy conversation, that would be one for the legislature to have, whether or not information from the county should be excluded from the definition of government document.
And what was that citation again?
231B is what I have.
That's actually information created from our database, isn't
it? Right, from SCORE.
Right. So right. We're not passing a rule except as it pertains to our data.
Right, and we would oppose the adoption of that rule. We believe that the database of the Secretary of State would be a government document and therefore can't be excluded compared to any other government document if it meets the definition with the name, address, and definition of current.
Okay, so it would be your position that you could use a mail ballot as your ID?
If it otherwise met the definition under the statute with the name, address, and a date that indicated it was current.
Okay, so you could take that mail ballot and you could show up at the polls and use it as an ID and circumvent any signature requirement.
Under the definition of government document, if it met the definition, again, with the name, address, and showing that it was current, you could. And again, it may well be that this is a policy conversation that would be appropriate for the legislature to have, but to exclude certain government documents from the definition through rule, we believe is inappropriate. Also under Rule 2.213.2a2, and this is again in the context of national change of address, we believe the words county or should be stricken from the first sentence. We believe that this rule is inconsistent with Colorado Revised Statute 12302.5. And then finally under Rule 2, Rule 2.14.2, I'm not sure entirely what the intent of this rule is. I know that there's been discussion, and the legislature in recent years has repealed the requirement that an elector's name and address be announced. It's unclear to us whether when you say verbally confirm, that is just to sure that the voter's information is correct, as in, do you live at this address? Or if it is a way of reinstating that requirement that the voter's name and address be announced. We would oppose that and would urge the Secretary of State to look for a way to clarify what is intended by confirm or verbal confirmation. Under Rule 7, where we get into the conduct of elections, we support the intent of Rule 7.5.4, which has to do with mailbox or mail ballot drop-off boxes and how often they're checked. We recognize that this is a rule that has undergone significant revision, trying to balance the need to make sure that the boxes are emptied with the burden on counties. We would suggest adding some language that indicates that they need to be checked as often as necessary so that the time parameter isn't the only factor for counties, and if there's significant usage of a mailbox, that obviously it would be emptied on a more frequent schedule. With Rule 7.8.1, we would encourage the Secretary of State to adopt reasonable business hours on a Saturday as a minimum of 8 hours instead of 4. We think that, that gives voters maximum opportunity for participation and is a more appropriate floor. We do appreciate, though, that the rules do set the floor and allow counties to go above and beyond as appropriate to meet the needs of their voters. For Rule 7.8.3, we'd encourage the Secretary of State to revise this rule to reflect the work of the business practice subgroup of the Voter Access and Modernized Elections Commission. That group has thought a lot about how to balance the needs of different counties and different sized counties. And so making sure that the rule is flexible enough to allow for modifications based on size and need is important. And then finally, Rule 7.10.1. We believe that this rule is in conflict with the provisions of 15102.93F, which gives counties between 10,000 and 25,000 active electors the ability to request a waiver of the connectivity requirements upon demonstration of hardship and the Secretary of State approval of a plan to address verification of voter eligibility. If the phrase real-time access that's used in this rule is intended to include a process for waivers, then we would encourage the Secretary of State to modify that rule to make clear that that's the process and to put into place a clear explanation of what that process is, so it's clear that that is still in effect. Under Rule 14, 14.2.2, we share the comments that were expressed by the Koberg Foundation. We believe that this rule is an overreach of the Secretary's authority. The statute provides clearly for the training of organizers, and to add a circulator training at the Secretary of State level would be an additional requirement that's not contemplated in statute. We think the current system of allowing organizers to train their circulators is appropriate and would support rejecting this rule. And then finally, under Rule 17.1.2, we believe that this rule is also in conflict with 15102.935, which states that a voter is issued a provisional ballot only if there are technical difficulties accessing SCORE and his or her eligibility cannot be verified after the judge contacts the county clerk and recorder by telephone or email if practicable. We recognize that there are instances where it won't be practicable and a provisional ballot will need to be issued, but the rule needs to address that there is that safety valve of attempting to make contact by telephone or email first. Those are our comments. I'll submit them in writing as well so you have all of our notes, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? All right. Thank you. Thanks. Celia Reyes-Martinez.
Good morning. My name is Celia Reyes-Martinez, and I am the Colorado State Director for Mi Familia Vota Education Fund. We are a national organization who has been in Colorado since 2006 and officially opened our office since 2007. And since 2007, we've been doing voter registration, nonpartisan voter registration, with specifically with the Latino community. And so I'm here to just really express our concerns regarding the voter registration drives. Just in addition to what was already testified, we feel that myself as a coordinator of the voter registration drive, I am responsible for taking that training and making sure that all the documents are submitted on time. And so having to put that burden into the people that we partner with makes it really hard for them. So we specifically partner with schools and churches, and we go to the schools and try to get the students to get involved. We noticed back in 2010 that We could be at the school and do voter registration, but we don't have a personal relationship with the students. And so being able to train students either the day that we were going to be there or a few days before, and being able to explain to them, you know, the responsibilities of the voter registration, but then also the importance of getting involved in civic engagement, made the students feel like they were part of something. And so it was so much easier for them to come in and say, hey, Alex, are you registered to vote, right? It was a personal touch that the students were having with their classmates. And so having them go through this training that's intended for the organizers of voter registration drives really does make it harder for them, because we also partner with a lot of seniors that don't necessarily understand or don't feel comfortable with the internet, and sometimes they don't feel comfortable coming to these types of buildings. It makes it hard for them. And then the training that we go through, it really is not intended for people who are going to be doing the voter registration, at the schools, at the stores. That training is really made for the people who are going to be responsible for that VRD number. And so it just makes it hard for those students or those people who want to get involved to really become to give back and try to encourage other people to be civically engaged. And so that was all I had to say.
Ask a quick follow-up to that. Is the last comment that you made about the training, mm-hmm. Are you speaking about our training? So the training from the Secretary of State's office is designed more for the sort of overseer of the circulators as opposed to the circulators?
It is.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
I guess my question would be, what if the training was modified so that it had more to do with the circulators, and wouldn't there be an ability for you to just show that training when you do your own training, or to incorporate it into your own training?
So if there was a training that was done by the Secretary of State that we could do with the people, I wouldn't object to that. But like it was stated before, we have the responsibilities as organizers to make sure that people understand what the voter registration form is and how important that is. And also we have to make sure that those forms are turned in correctly, that they're completed correctly. And so for Mi Familia Vota Education Fund, we have a system in place where we do three types of quality control. And so those are burdens that I don't feel like our volunteers should have to go through. Those are that's something that I, as an organizer of a voter registration drive, has accepted those responsibilities. And so if there was a training that we could modify and be able to make it our own to fit the people that we're working with, I wouldn't object to that.
Well, I guess my question was not really something that you would modify, but maybe just a short training that would go through the same thing, the legal requirements, and then you could add whatever you wanted, obviously, to that. But there would be one training that we would develop just to ensure that everybody is obtaining the same information.
I think, again, if they would have to do it online or come here and do it here, I think that is a burden for our volunteers.
But if it was something you could show, let's say, or you had a computer there at your trainings and you could just show the video or whatever, if we could, I think maybe we all have the same goals and it's just a matter of figuring out a way to work it into your system so that we know that people have the correct training. It maybe takes the burden off of you to go in and see what all the laws are and make sure that you're training correctly. So it would be just the 10-minute, 15-minute legal training. And then as far as, getting people out there and communicating with your people, that would obviously be, up to each organizer. But I think our goal is to have that training regarding what the statutes say and what the requirements are to come out of the Secretary's office. I mean, there are other changes that we're trying to make too, like to have, a code on the online voter registration so that you can still do it with a tablet and obtain, and keep your list. Mm-hmm. Just things to make it more streamlined, I guess, is the issue. And it seems like some of those could potentially help you if we launch it correctly.
Yeah, I think that we could incorporate whatever you guys provide into our trainings. But again, it's just the way that things are written now, it's really a burden for our volunteers to have to go through those kinds of steps that we as organizers already take.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Levin.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Levin from the Legal Center for People with Disabilities and Older People, and I'm the program coordinator for the PNA for voter accessibility. And my predecessor, Faith Gross, just retired and basically did a lot of the legwork on these, on reviewing these rules, and provided some comments for me to make here for you today. So thank you for letting me come up here. The first rule that she marked through was 1.1.16. And basically, she pointed out that you might want to strike the touch screen language because not all DVR devices are touch screens. So she thought that might be a little bit confusing. And then to move on to some language that basically refers to the disability community, which is what I'm mostly here to represent, we would like to point out there were some really good rules that we like the language in. Rule 7.8, where the language says it provides voters with disabilities additional time to vote, except for limiting the time for people with disabilities to 15 minutes. So we do like that language and would like to see that remain in the rule. And then we move on to 7.9, which this language we strongly support. It says no later than 90 days before an election, the clerk's office would be responsible for doing surveys and making sure that the voting service and polling centers are accessible and meet the ADA guidelines and standards. So this language is something we'd like to see remain in the rule. And down further in underneath the rule, 7.9.3, where it has injunctive relief that the Secretary of State could use in case a clerk's polling center or voting center is not accessible. We strongly support that. We think that's a good thing to be able to do, and also to be able to limit like the accessibility or the access to the grants that they might be able to get if they're not in compliance with the ADA. And Faith has in quotes underneath that, you know, outstanding. So if she says it's great, it probably is. I just want to let you know. Outstanding with an exclamation point, or two exclamation points, actually. Let's see. And then we have 7.11, assisting voters with disabilities in a voter service and polling center, having the language posted that helps a person who needs assistance, like know what to do, get the election judge to help them if they need assistance. That being posted is something we definitely support. And this is a rule, let's see, 14 was something, even though not specifically relating to the disability community, we do feel like having a voter registration drive have that extra requirement where the volunteers have to take a computer online test would negatively impact our ability to recruit people and get people out there and getting people with disabilities to register, because it would place a burden on not only our organization, because we don't have a lot of computers where we could set people down and have them take online tests and then suddenly be ready to go out there and do the volunteer work. So we feel like that would probably lessen our ability to get people with disabilities out there to sign up, because we're not going to have as many people volunteering, and you know they're going to not be able to get out to the facilities and nursing homes and places where you have to go and in droves basically and register people. So we'd like to see that not happen in the rule. Maybe the rule the way it is now currently just remain that way. And then just another little kind of an editing thing. In 21.1.4, it says the ballot marking device, down below on line 26, something has a touchscreen monitor. Faith actually pointed out that they probably don't have touch screens, so maybe just leave it at monitor. So that's something she was very familiar with, the devices and the machines that were used in voting. So something she wanted to let you know about. And then the last thing I want to comment on was Rule 21, the VVPAT, talking about the design requirements, every voter to review and accept or reject his or her paper record in private and independent manner as possible, regardless of whether the voter has a disability. So we definitely support that language. So, and that is all that I have to comment on. So if you have any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
Okay.
I have a quick question. Going back to your 7.8 reference.
Okay.
You said you liked it, or you and Faith liked it, but there was a reference to the 15-minute limit. Do you like the 15-minute limit, or
saying we support the exception to that for the person with a disability. Yes, sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. Thank you.
I was trying not to read it verbatim to y'all because I figured you didn't want to hear.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Rebecca Correll.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Rebecca Correll. I'm with the Colorado Participation Project. The Colorado Participation Project is a nonpartisan nonprofit which works with nonprofits and supports their civic engagement and advocacy efforts. Together with our partners, we deliver and support voter engagement opportunities to communities served by nonprofits across the state. We coordinate agency-based voter registration efforts that are effective and, again, nonpartisan. Agency-based voter registration works very well at engaging people in the democratic process. Individuals that are offered voter registration at the same time they're completing other paperwork are more likely to take the time to complete a voter registration form. The proposed rule, as mentioned by the folks at Koeperg and Mi Familia Vota, regarding the online test that would be required for circulators, would create new barriers for already overworked agency staff that help individuals who otherwise may not be offered the opportunity to register to vote. As the designated voter registration drive agent, we train and continually engage agency staff so that they can offer registration to their communities, requiring every individual we work with to go through the webinar, thus eliminating the train-the-trainer method that is currently in the rules means our partners, programs, and community will be significantly burdened. We take great care in how we train our circulators and monitor their progress continually. We do not think that this new requirement is needed to ensure VRD compliance, and we thank you for the opportunity to bring that comment.
All right. Thank you. Anyone have any questions? No? All right. Thank you. Is there anybody else that's present that wishes to testify? Okay, then at this time, our office will take under advisement possible amendments to the Secretary of State's elections rules. The record will remain open through close of business Tuesday, October 8th, to allow the submission of additional written comments. That concludes today's hearing. The time is 8:40. Thank you all for attending.